Welcome to the Time For You podcast with Erin Woodruff, episode 109. My name is Erin, and my goal is to help you embrace your inner light. If you're sick of feeling stuck and tired of holding yourself back from the things you know that you are capable of, you're in the right place. On this podcast, I help women leverage their inner strength, wisdom, and light to be a force for good in the world. It's time for you to embrace who you are and create the life that you were born to live. Hello, hello, friend. Welcome back to a new week. This is kind of a weird and surreal thing to say, because I have never had a kid while I've been doing podcasting, but this is officially baby week. So I am going to check out for a while from my business and the other things that I have in my life, and really focus on my family and my new baby and healing and taking care of the basic necessities of what postpartum brings. That to be said, I am currently working on getting all of the podcasts for the next like 6 or 7, 8 weeks batched and out. And so I won't have to even worry about it. So you will still be getting a podcast every week. I just won't be doing them in current time. So they'll all be pre-recorded, and not that all podcasts are anyways, but it will be a little bit different. I've never batched podcasts so far out in advance, but I'm just trying to take care of myself and make sure that I'm setting myself up for success and taking care of my family at the same time. So I'm trying to do everything I can before baby comes. On that note, as I have been preparing for labor and delivery, having a new baby at our house, prepping my home, prepping my family, I have been thinking a lot about taking ownership and extreme ownership. And what does that mean? What does that look like? How can I teach that to someone else? How can I help other people embrace this in their own life? Because it is such an amazing tool and principle and vital for all of us to embrace. Because I think if we all took more ownership, more personal, extreme ownership of our lives, the world might function a little bit differently. If you have never heard of the concept of extreme ownership, it is one that really pushed me when I first heard it years and years ago. There is a book called Extreme Ownership by Joko Willink that is really amazing. If you like to consume self-help stuff, which I'm assuming you do on some level if you're listening to this podcast, but this is one of those books that I would recommend reading. He is a retired Navy SEAL, and he talks about what does extreme ownership look like in teams for you, for yourself as individuals, and how he creates that within the military. Put very simply, extreme ownership is how great leaders take responsibility for every aspect of their team and its mission. Taking extreme ownership requires you to put aside your ego and take absolute responsibility for the outcome of the situations. And for me personally, I've always loved leadership and leadership roles and everything that entails. But honestly, I think sometimes we get so lost in the leadership aspect, we forget how it applies to our home life, our family life, our relationships. And how could our family functions be better if we took extreme ownership in our home as well as at work? So today, when I talk about extreme ownership, I will be using lots of more normal everyday examples, less work examples, and more examples for our own lives within our own homes and within ourselves. I mentioned this at the beginning, but as I've been preparing for labor and delivery, it has been a good reminder to me, Number one, I've already been through this once, and so I'm fully aware of what it entails for me on a mental and physical and emotional level. And the hardest part, I think, going back into this is, again, realizing, just like the first time, but realizing and accepting and owning the fact that no one can help me do this. Of course, I'll have wonderful medical personnel and support from my husband and my mom and my mother-in-law and all of my other family members and neighbors and friends. There will be so much support. But when it comes to actually doing the physical labor and delivering the baby, no one can help me do it except myself. And when I think about that, it is extremely daunting and empowering all at the same time. And when I can relax into this idea of extreme ownership of, I am the one that has to do this, and I can't have help from anyone else. So how can I best prepare myself right now in this moment to be able to be mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually prepared for anything that comes during the labor and delivery process? When I can frame it that way, it helps me to be motivated to take care of my body, to eat healthier, to stretch, to exercise, to strengthen my muscles, and to hope that I'm strengthening my body enough that it will have a successful experience in delivering my child. On the other side of the actual labor and delivery part, there are other things that I can do to take extreme ownership of my care, and that is a lot with how I communicate with my support team. I mentioned all of them already. And how I can best prepare myself and them for what I'm going to need from them in the moment when I am struggling, when I don't know what I need. I have had endless discussions with my husband about questions that I would like him to ask me when I am in labor and delivery, and he doesn't know what to do either, but we've talked about it so much in advance that hopefully I have given him some good ideas while I've had more of a relaxed, clear mind. So when we're in the stressful heat of the moment of having a new baby, he can ask me things that I have already told him to ask me. Because there are some things, anyone who has had kids or multiple kids knows this, you learn every single time. And there are so many things that happened with our first kid that I wish wouldn't have happened, or I wish would have gone differently. And how have we prepared this time, and how have I prepared this time so we can have an even better experience and communicate better with each other and with our medical staff and everyone else, including family and friends. There are other parts about extreme ownership when it comes to family life that can be helpful for us if we're willing to apply them. It's really easy in a family, especially, to create chore charts and have ideas of who should do what on what days and who's responsible for what things. And not saying any of that is bad, because I am a very big supporter in structure and routine, and you all know that. But how often do we blame someone else for not having something done when in reality, we could have just reminded them? They might have been more than willing but forgot. But we make the assumption and jump to conclusions that they're disrespecting us, that they don't care about our family, that I'm the only one who's working for the greater good. And we blow these things out of proportion when in reality, if we can ask ourselves some questions that would lead to extreme ownership, how might you show up differently? You could ask yourself, did they know that this was part of their responsibilities? How could I have communicated this expectation better to them? Since they didn't follow through, How do I want to respond now as a wife or a mom? What kind of person do I want to be? When you can step into the place of extreme ownership, this is where you are going to have a lot of leverage and possibilities and opportunities and chances to make things right, make things better, improve things, and have hard conversations. Taking extreme ownership is not easy. It's very stressful, and it is also extremely empowering. When you can start taking extreme ownership in your life, you realize that you have more control over the outcomes than you have given yourself credit for in the past. As I've been thinking about this topic and things I want to share and stories I want to tell, I have reflected back on an experience I had with one of my nephews years ago. And we were all at my parents' and the grandkids had disappeared for a while and they had eaten a bunch of peaches off of the neighbor's peach tree. This was something that wasn't a given invitation. It was something that the kids did on their own, and it was stressful for my mom and for my sister, for the kids' mom. And we didn't know how this neighbor was going to react about the kids eating most of the peaches. And it was one of those things that you were just in a sticky situation for your own kids' behavior. And it was frustrating as a parent. And I was watching my sister and my mom navigate this and talk about it. And they were asking my nephew why he ate the peaches. And he was old enough, I think he was 8 or 9, he was old enough to understand that you shouldn't necessarily eat and take things that aren't yours. And when he was asked why he ate the peaches, he was saying, well, they were just there. What else was I supposed to do? As if he had no choice or alternative options of things he could do. And we continued to talk to him and kind of hear him out and hear his story. And he was being a little ridiculous and very funny, but he kept saying things like, well, what other choice did I have? The peaches were just right there in front of me. And it's their fault for planting the peach tree in the first place, because if they wouldn't have planted the peach tree in the first place, then I never would have been tempted to eat the peaches. So really, it's their fault. It's their fault that I ate the peaches, because they were the ones who put the peach tree in their yard. And he just went on and on, and we all kind of laughed at him and his ridiculousness. And I kept on thinking about this idea of extreme ownership. Even with a kid so young, he was putting all of the blame and all the responsibility on someone else. He was taking any argument that was given to him or a reasonable suggestion that was given to him and turning it against someone else, that being the neighbors, and it was their fault and it was their tree, and what else was he supposed to do? He was innocent, and like, he had a choice. And this example is so inconsequential and it doesn't really matter, but I think I've thought about it so much in the last few years. This was probably 2 or 3 years ago that it happened. But I've thought about it so much since that happened, because it felt so relatable to the things that you do or I do in our everyday lives with other things that are of more consequence and more importance. It was so interesting to me to observe him and his younger brain trying to figure out justification for his own behavior, rather than just owning up and saying, yes, I didn't ask if I could eat the peaches. Yes, I probably ate way too many. Yes, they weren't mine in the first place. Yes, I could have done something different. I could have walked away. I could have left their yard. I could have gone and knocked on their door to ask him if they wanted to share with me. They had so many different options, these grandkids did, and that is a way we can take more extreme ownership. for me personally, thinking about teaching my own kids, this concept of extreme ownership is something that I do believe can be taught at a really young age. And if we're not careful, we won't teach it. Because it's not always our own fault that something happens, but it's our responsibility to take whatever we're dealt in the moment and handle it from there and make conscious decisions moving forward. The same goes with our children. Hannah's already at the age where she's starting to fight a lot with her friends, which is so normal for toddlers, but it has already sparked really good conversations to talk about what can she do regardless of other people's behavior towards her. And also, I try to be very diligent about teaching her what acceptable and appropriate behavior is from her friends. If someone's hitting you, if someone's yelling at you, screaming at you, punching you, none of that is okay, but you still get to respond how you want to respond. You still have a choice in that. You still get to decide how you are going to react. The same goes with sharing toys, playing at someone else's house, or trying to have a conversation, trying to find common interests. If someone doesn't want to play the game you're wanting to play, you either need to play by yourself or change what you want to do to accommodate them so that they will play with you. And it's not always about putting our own desires and wants and needs aside, but it's about you deciding consciously who you want to be, what type of friend you want to be, what kind of relationships you want to build. Throughout this episode, I hope you have learned something new and had a new or different perspective for your own life in how you can take more extreme ownership for the things going on in your life. I hope you can start to shift the blame away from others and turn your questions and your doubts and your fears towards yourself and ask how you can do something differently. How can you talk to someone differently? How can you show up differently? How can you communicate in a better way so people cannot misunderstand what you're saying or asking from them? What can you do to get your project out the door faster at work? What can you do all day to make sure your kitchen is clean in the morning, ready for you the next day? There are so many different alternative ways to approach our lives with the mindset of extreme ownership that will bring you so much more joy and happiness and relaxation into your life because you are taking charge of the things you're responsible for. You know that you are doing your very best in all of the areas where you can, rather than looking for or waiting for someone else to blame or someone else to use as an excuse. Your challenge this week with this concept of extreme ownership is to look at one thing in your life where you feel like you're waiting for someone else to act so a change can happen for you. Once you identify this one area, take it and flip it towards yourself and ask yourself some of the questions I've already posed. What can I do differently? How can I show up better for myself? How can I make sure that this happens no matter what? How can I best serve and love my family in the way that feels authentic to me? There's so many other questions you could ask. How can I take more extreme ownership in this situation? I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Hopefully it's warming up wherever you live. Enjoy the sunshine, and I'll talk to you next Monday. If you're sick of your self-doubt holding you back from the things you want to do, then you've got to grab the Positive Affirmations for Self-Worth card deck. The affirmations are designed to make an immediate impact on your life, boost your confidence, and strengthen your emotional resilience as well as your self-worth. You are worth loving. Grab this card deck in the show notes or on AaronWoodruffCoaching.com.